Hello, love. Welcome. Thank you so much for dropping into Time in the Studio today, where we share behind-the-scenes stories of creatives and plant people and recount tales of change, connection, and plant seeds of possibility. I'm your host, Sarah Marie Miller, and my life is being transformed by plants, art, and these chats, and I hope these conversations help you along your journey as well. I'm so thrilled to be sharing the chat I had with EarthSpeak founders today. Natalie Ross, she is the founder, podcast host, and awareness activator. And Shauna Kaysen, she's the co-founder, brand alchemist, and medicine woman. This is the first ever podcast interview the two of them have done together and the first podcast I've ever hosted with two guests at once. And it was just so fun to hear their stories and discuss building a supportive collective without a hierarchy. They also discuss the ease of working together and how when you trust people to thrive in their zone of genius, it allows for smoother collaborations and just allows everybody to do their best work. I also loved our chat about podcasting and how our podcasts or our passions or businesses can take on an energy of their own, and how tuning into what our projects want can have unexpected and very positive outcomes. So that was a fun thing to consider. This is just a quick dive into how everything is alive and everything is about relationships. Maybe not so quick. It's about an hour and a half, but I really love this conversation and I hope you enjoy it. Oh, and in the spirit of connecting more with others, I'm hosting a giveaway. I've never done this before, but I'm offering a piece of my pottery to a special someone. It's a cup I made this year, 2020, very strange time, and it's perfect for a sip of water, wine, tea, or flowers for your altar, you know, whatever you need for a little cup of something. So the directions are pretty simple. If you're on the Insta, just go to Time in the Studio and follow Time in the Studio podcast. Tag three friends on the post of a cup, and then go to my website, timeinthestudio.com, and sign up for my newsletter. I send it out about every 2 weeks or so, and it's just a haiku and maybe a photo and a playlist of music and just a recap of some of the episodes. So it's very kind of a fun little light of just playfulness, usually. And sometimes some cool resources and whatnot, too. So, but yeah, I'm playing around with that, too. I had never done a newsletter before, and it's actually so fun. I have a really good time designing it and writing it, and then it's just so fun to hear back from people. It's almost like I used to be in this haiku club where we would write haikus on postcards and send them to each other, and it reminds me of that, like just a little haiku hello. Another thing, I usually begin my interviews with a grounding meditation, but I almost always cut it out of the interviews. But this time I decided I'm going to keep it, but I'm offering it to my Patreon supporters as a gift. So if you want to hear our secret invocation, you can go to patreon.com/timeinthestudio and become a sustaining member. This podcast is here because of those sweet helpers. So thank you so much for the sustaining members who are supporting the podcast. And yeah, thank you so much for being here. And I hope you enjoy this episode. Let's just dive right in. So excited to share with you the conversation I had with EarthSpeak. Oh, just another little reminder. Go to EarthSpeak and listen to their podcast. It's great. Okay, here we go. Cha-cha-cha.
Okay, I'm just gonna, let's just roll into it.
Okay, cool.
Okay, I am so beyond excited and thrilled to have two of the members of EarthSpeak podcast on Time in the Studio podcast today. Natalie Ross and Shauna Kaysen. Amazing. Thank you both so much for being here today. It's just a delight. I love what you're doing with your podcast. It's so beautiful. For listeners, anyone who hasn't listened to this podcast yet, definitely you need to tune into it. And it's like a deep breath of fresh air and just so grounding and just feels really aligned and thoughtful. And there's just like a consciousness raising that happens through looking at your website, through listening to your podcast. It feels very powerful to come into contact with your work. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, my pleasure.
I appreciate what you said about it being conscious raising or raising in consciousness, because when we were rebranding Dream Freedom Beauty to Earth Speak, and we were really talking about like, what is it that we really want to do, you know, and we each kind of stated what was important to us. One thing for me that I have found my purpose in life to be is to help raise the consciousness of other people, especially because there's that like domino effect. I don't know if you've heard the kind of saying of like, you know, if you raise your vibration, then like it matches, or will it help exceed the five people who are around you most? I mean, there's so much to that story and why, but that's the premise is, you know, we want people to start asking those questions so that they can raise their vibration and realize that there's more to life and that they can have whatever they want.
Oh, I love that. I think that's such a great reminder. And I can see that reflected in your podcast and in your website and the work that you're doing, creating this collective and community around the podcast. I can see just the classes that you're offering and the dialogues that you're creating, these conversations. I think it's really powerful. If you can meditate, if you can raise your vibration, it does help everyone around you. So there's that, yeah, that domino or that butterfly effect. So I love that reflection. I'd love to know a little bit more about both of you and about your work.
Hi, I'm Natalie. Hi. I recognize that like when, you know, we can all see each other, but the listeners can't see us. So this is my voice. I'm like a little bit of a valley girl. So hi.
And
hi. So yeah, I love what you said too about the consciousness too, because when we, ever since creating and growing Earth Speak, we've connected not with it as this thing that we're like, this is what we're creating, but more as this is what wants to be created through us and with us. And we started from a tiny seed, and well, Dream Freedom Beauty, my first podcast, started from a tiny seed and then evolved into Earth Speak, which was its own tiny seed. It was like a seed from the bloom and the seed pod that was harvested from Dream Freedom Beauty. And so, you know, starting from this tiny seed, we were always connecting with the energy of that. And we didn't even know, you know, we connected with the energy of Earth Speak for like over a year before we actually ever launched, and for probably about 9 or 10 months before we even really started putting it into form. And we had some like beta testing. We beta tested for a year before we launched we've like just been very slow and deliberate, and this whole time we've just been paying attention to the energy of Earth Speak as a spirit and as a being in its own right. And so much of what this energy has shown us is not that we're anything special, but rather that, you know, this is just asking to come through us and through all people as a remembering of ourselves as nature and spirit. And so, you know, we're nothing special here connecting to Earth Speak. This is just, it called to us and we answered, but really this is calling to everybody. And this is a consciousness that already exists in everybody, this consciousness of yourself as nature, of yourself as spirit, and of this awareness that is so much bigger and so much more powerful and connected and whole than the energy of the system that wants to fragment and disconnect us all. So that, you know, that is behind everything we do at Earth Speak. And we encourage other people to just, you know, hopefully this reflects and inspires them to see this for themselves and to have that direct connection for themselves and start attuning to that awareness for themselves, because it's so different from what society had ever told us to do or be or how to engage with the world. You know, society just sees a tree as a tree or as like lumber for wood, or, you know, and it sees spirit as like this woo-woo thing unless you're in a specific religion. And so we're very much like, no, everything around us is life. Earth is conscious. We are conscious. Water, air, fire is conscious. The plants, the elements, the animals, the stars, even the sun, the moon, like the wind. It's just everything is alive. It just speaks a different language than words. And so learning to tune into that and tap into that is also learning to tap into the nature within you, which knows so much more than what you were taught. So I just wanted to reflect all that right back about what you said there with tapping into that consciousness, because this really is about a consciousness within that we're bringing back to the earth, back to the planet in a new way than it's ever been before as individuals. And not Earthspeak isn't the only place doing this either. You know, I'm just saying that's what we stand for.
Oh, yeah. I can see it happening everywhere around me. Like, I just have so many teachers, and I just love everything you just said. And I feel like, yes, everything is so alive. And I love the idea that the podcast is kind of like its own animal or its own energy or entity that you're just listening to. And you're like, what do you need? What are we doing here? Because I can totally feel that with my podcast too. Like, it just kind of, I've let it sit sometimes, and then it just calls to me. It's like, get over here and talk to me. And I'm like, okay, bye. Like, but there's this energy, and it's really important to listen to the things around you. And I love that you're creating this community and working together to help listen to the spirit of the land and the spirit of our ancestors, and just doing so much healing and having really powerful conversation. So I just, yeah, I love that what you reflected. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you. And reflect back at that, you know, I think this really speaks to something, to the difference between manifestation versus co-creation. And manifestation can come so much from the mind and what society told you you need to do or be or have or achieve, versus co-creation is what's calling to you, and are you going to answer that call? And I'm not saying manifestation's bad. Like, we are still in the society, and we still have to pay the bills and live in the system. Like, we're creating a new system as we speak. Look at the protests, look at the different things that are happening, look at the ways people are being held accountable in communities. Like, things are changing, but we're still in the system. So I just wanted to point that out too, because I think this is kind of a new paradigm that people are becoming more aware of as they wake up and realize, like, wait, it's not all as it seems. So yeah, I'm going to hand over to Shauna too, and just see what Shauna has to say on that.
If
anything to add or different direction.
Well, actually, when we were talking, I had about this moment when I had just moved to North Carolina for herbal school and an apprenticeship, and I'm from Texas. So it was new and it was so green. And like, I consider Austin, Texas home, and you know, there's a lot of green around there too, but North Carolina is like next level.
Oh, it's alive. It's like loudly buzzing with animals, and
even the highways are lush, you know. Yeah. And so I moved in August, and so it had just started transitioning, you know, from summer to fall. And I was on my way to Virginia to go to a powwow, and the trees were the tallest trees I've ever seen. I mean, I've been to Colorado, but since that time, they were just so tall, and they were changing colors. And it was so distracting to the point that I had to pull over and just like take it in, you know. And I remember taking a picture and like wanting to send it to somebody, or like FaceTime somebody and be like, oh my God, look at this, you know. But then I was like, who's gonna appreciate this like me, you know? Like, I wish I had those people that would understand this moment. And like, that's what we've cultivated in the collective, and it's so beautiful that like we can share those little things that are near and dear to our heart, you know, but so deeply connected with nature and spirit at the same time.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I feel like creating that community and having other people around you who can appreciate those things, it's like lights a little sparkle in your soul, and it's like, yes, what the work you're doing is important. And it just is a good reminder to keep doing that work, because sometimes it's not easy to dive in and do ancestral healing, or to take time to sit with a plant and listen to it. You know, I think, as you're saying, like, our culture, capitalist culture, doesn't want to give space for that. It's like very fear-based. And so it's a good reminder to just like, yeah, give things some space. And I like that reflection about manifestation versus co-creation as well, and thinking of community as, you know, you're really co-creating with everyone around you. And yeah, that's just so exciting. So I'd love to maybe dive in a little bit into what does the collective look like? Because I know we keep referring to it, but yeah, who is involved? What's going on there?
I'm getting the eyes from Shauna. She's like, you take this. Well, the collective is a members only space. It's a safe space and a sacred container where we're meeting every week face to face on Zoom with our community. This is, you know, our collective. And in this, we're actually sharing our noticings of what have we noticed energetically, what have we noticed synchronistically or intuitively in the week, that kind of like what Shauna just said, you know, what's shown up for you that just really spoke to you, or what are you going through that you don't really have other people in your life to share who would get it. And then we do a grounding and clearing guided journey and ritual for like a deep grounding. And it's really to help people learn how to kind of come back to their own energy and calibrate, so they can know like, oh, this is what my energy feels like when it's clear. So they can begin to learn to sense when it's not clear, and then take care of themselves and take that sovereignty and that authority with themselves, you know. And then we get into discussing beautiful topics, whatever's showing up. Sometimes we'll have a ritual, or we'll have a special guest and do a workshop or something in the call. But it's really a space that we created. I mean, we created it for us because we were like, hey, where are our people? We want to see them and connect with them and get to go deeper and take it further with people who really get it, who get us. Because both Shauna and I really did walk our own paths before we met in such a lonely way, you know. And I guess my life started to get less lonely when I started Dream Freedom Beauty. And that's that first, I guess it was the second spark that really helped me see like, oh, I'm not the only one out there who thinks about these things or has these experiences or wonders about these weird things that like nobody talks about, or I don't, you know. And even if you are into things like talking to plants or listening to plants or doing rituals, there's tons of books and stuff, but there's still like just being with people who are interested in it is just so much more rich and different than just studying on your own. And so we created the collective, and this funny thing is like the talking to the being of Earthspeak, the spirit of Earthspeak, it was always saying the space is the medicine, the space is the medicine. I'm like, well, how the crap am I supposed to make a thing that's the space? Like, how do you make the space, you know? Like, but really we've just listened and we've created the space, and the space truly is the medicine now. And the collective is so cool. It's growing now to a point where instead of just weekly live calls, which we still have, we're actually, you know, we're growing and we're implementing ways that we're experimenting with lateral power. So it's not a hierarchical thing, or it's not like a power structure dependent on me or Shauna. It's really about how can people actually have a space, safe space to come connect in with who they are, with their own energy, and then have a safe space to express themselves for people who get it and gain that confidence to go out into the world to express themselves. And so we've created like these member meetups that anyone can call a meetup, and like maybe they want to learn about lucid dreaming or they want to talk about tarot, that Shauna and I don't have to be there. Anyone can schedule one and invite any other members to come hang out and talk about it. And we have a book club, and like we're just growing. We're like, how can we help people connect more? Because connection truly is the antidote to all the fragmentation, the separation, the fear, and everything. Like connection, connection, connection. And so we're just constantly learning and doing that, and learning as we do, even, you know. It's amazing. It's my favorite place to be every week, besides the woods. You know, I love being in the woods, and I love being at the collective. So yeah, do you think I covered that, Shauna?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's that one time a week that we get to connect with other people and have those deep conversations. And you know, if anyone is out there like me, I work remotely, and I have for since 2016. So it's like meeting people is harder now, and it can be very isolating. And there were weeks when I wouldn't talk to anyone but my husband, you know, like, hey, friends. So like, that's collective and so much more. And like, I love that we have a monthly town hall call where we all come together and we talk about what is the community that we all want to, you know, cultivate, and where do we want to grow from here, and how do we remain intimate? And it's amazing because, I mean, we're listening, and
yeah,
it's precious. We can probably go on for a long time.
Oh my gosh.
In it, and it's cool.
It seems amazing. Just, and I can see how it just would feed your soul to have this connection with other people, especially working remotely and not, and in the time of COVID too. Like, I just feel like I am so desperately craving like my girlfriends. Like, I just am like, oh, I have to call everyone. Like, I have to call like one person a day at least. That's kind of like my minimum to just tune in with people, because I don't know, there's just something about that. Yeah, we need to connect during this time. So I love that you're creating this platform and able to figure out what your own needs are, and then using that as a guide for helping the greater community, and realizing, oh, if you need this, probably a lot of other people need this too. And ta-da, they do. So yeah. I think it's
beautiful too, because, you know, there's people there who have experiences from all different, you know, areas of life, and it's great to see them step into their power and like own that when, you know, if we're talking about a topic that maybe they're passionate about, and it's like, you know, we step back and we're like, tell us, teach us, you know, we're just all teaching each other and learning and growing, and it's beautiful.
I love that lateral vision of not having a hierarchy, and yeah, just like letting people step forward into their power and being able to like learn from them and hear from them, and that feels so nourishing and so present too. Like, I feel like we're moving in that direction, away from hierarchy, away from patriarchal systems, and so it's just so exciting to see how other people, how you're doing this. It's really radical and like, so exciting. It's amazing. How did it come to you? Like, were you just, you were together and realizing like you needed this for yourself, and so you decided to create it?
The very seed of it, well, I think there's probably a couple different ways it came to us. There was one though, because for a couple years, Spirit had been telling me like, you need to teach people. Let's like help, you know, share, like Spirit's like, we gave you these tools. Now you need to share them and help teach people this so they can just take care of themselves. And it was basically how to connect to themselves, to Spirit, to the earth, and how to protect themselves energetically, how to ground themselves, and how to clear themselves energetically. And Spirit, I thought I was going to make like a little freebie that I gave away that was connect, protect, ground, and clear. I thought I was going to make a freebie. I thought, this was before I even knew about Earth Speak. This was back in Dream Freedom Beauty. I was like, oh, I'm going to make this freebie for Dream Freedom Beauty and da, 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 da. And it just ballooned. It just was like, when I tapped in, so I did the same thing. I just felt into the energy of it, felt into the energy of it. And it turned out, no, actually, what came through was that, you know, Shauna and I had already been in connection, and it was like, actually, no, this is evolving into something different. We didn't even know the name of it yet. It's just, this is evolving into something different. And so while I was still Dream Freedom Beauty, Spirit was like, okay, actually, this is a thing where you're going to teach this course. It's going to be a one-time course where you teach, you know, 2 hours, where you teach these concepts, and you have people do them, and then you're going to do a live call every week for 3 months for them to integrate it. And I was like, Spirit, that is so weird. Like, what are we going to do on the calls? You know? And so I just trusted it and I went with it. And that started in May 2019. And so at the end of 3 months, at that point, we knew we were going to be Earth Speak, and we were well on our way to becoming Earth Speak, I think. But leading up to that, we didn't know. So at the end of the 3 months, we were like, this is really cool. And people really liked it. And we still have people who were original members in that beta test. We like put out maybe an email or two to our email list. We did not really launch it. We were just kind of like, okay, we're just going to kind of like sneak this out there and see if anyone bites and just test it. Because I'm a really huge fan of testing, you know, and we're still here today doing the same damn thing.
The That's awesome.
Yeah, but Sean, do you have an angle on that too?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a string of following synchronicities. I had an experience back in 2010 where I was like waiting for my piano class to start, and I randomly meet this person who I'd never seen before and also never saw a moment. But we were talking, and at the time I thought I was going to be like this, I don't know, I wanted to lead a youth group at a church and be a youth pastor and for a Baptist church and like all these different things. But I had started, I mean, I don't know, I always liked other religions, but by this point in time I had already started questioning, just because I went to my, you know, leaders in the church and were like, so I can talk to dead people, what do I do about this, you know? And they're like, that's demonic. And I'm like, oh. So like just trying to figure out all of that and coming to terms with like, what do I really believe? Like if I strip everything down, what do I believe that nobody told me about? Mm. And so, yeah, so I was waiting for this class, and I started talking to this girl who's amazing, and she hands me her card, and it was like psychic, medium, intuitive. And we talked about it, and I also had just started tarot, and we agreed on this trade, and I was terrified because I'd never read for anyone else. And I go to her house, I'm new in Austin, didn't really know anyone, and she's in her backyard, and like, you know, we meet and stuff, and she's like, what do you want to ask spirit? And this was after like the whole, we had like an hour together, and I was like, you know, climate change, I really want to know, like, what is it going to take for us to heal our earth? Because I feel it, and I'm heartbroken, and I just want to know. And spirit said, if we told you, you couldn't handle it. And I'm like, that's not good enough. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And she asked, and she was like, well, like our consciousness literally could not handle the information that spirit would need to relay. And so I got the little seed. Okay, well then I'm going to meet a bunch of badass people who really love our earth and who just are genuinely good natured, you know? And I'm just going to collect them all throughout life and become friends. And then one day I'm going to be in a journey circle and we're going to channel that answer, you know, that question again. Maybe we'll get an answer. And so that's kind of like what I had been working up to. And then Natalie with Dream Fruit and Beauty had put out this call like for a show notes writer. And I mean, I can write, but something just told me like, I literally was driving when I heard this, and I pulled over to like look at this application, and I was like, I mean, it sounds like everything I could do. I'd love to work with Natalie and grow this. And there were so many moments listening to the show where I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, like screaming, like somebody gets it. And then she wrote back, and she actually had already hired a show notes writer, but then we just like never stopped talking. And so we were just talking about like, you know, where she was at the time. She was moving and in this transition phase and not really knowing where she wanted to take things. And then I had just quit a job without a backup plan. And so I'm like, what do I do now? And then it was like, well, what do we need? What do people need? You know, what does our earth need? And I remember Natalie had a care club for a little while, and I loved that. And when it was gone, I missed it. And that's because like, I was craving community. And so I'm like, brought something like that back, you know, but it was around earth and it was around spiritual ecology, and we're really doing work. Like there's so many places out there that I'm sure are cool, but that I've experienced that don't answer those hard questions, one, and two, they don't provide tangible ways to move forward with that information. Like how can we really move it into our life? And so that's when we really started thinking about together, like, okay, what does this look like on a larger scale? And how can, you know, what's wanting to come through? And yeah, so that's kind of where it came from for me.
Amazing. I'm curious, kind of going back to something you mentioned earlier, that you studied herbalism in North Carolina. I'm curious, like, what brought you to that path? Because I can see how, like, tarot wove into your path and raised all these questions, and I'm curious, how herbalism came into that picture for you as well.
Sure. Ooh, I think it was always there. My grandma's a, I mean, not my grandma, my grandfather is a farmer. So I grew up working with the earth. And at the time, while I resented it, because Texas hot summers doesn't mix well with me. But then I really got into, I have depression. I have major depressive order disorder, major depressive disorder. And I'm like, there has to be a natural way to deal with this. And it was at that moment that I really started to look into, like, what else is out there for healing? Mm-hmm. And I started learning reading essays and learning from Daniel Pinchbeck.
Amazing.
And Breaking Open the Head was a huge book for me. And I also was, this was like 5 years in the making. So I'm trying to give you like a sped up version of this.
Right. And no, I get it. Thanks for sharing that too. That's, I know it can be very vulnerable.
I really started to like dig into that question more. I started reading Terrence McKenna and like all these different texts. And Asna has beautiful natural gardens like everywhere. And I started really learning about ayahuasca.
Oh, cool.
Iboga, which was like, this was before it was trendy, you know, there wasn't, there was information, but it was, you really had to dig for it. Mm-hmm. And I started getting these like downloads of, okay, I have to follow this. Like, where's it going? And then I got into ancient herbs, like blue lotus, you know, passion flower, and like how the ancient Egyptians used to use it and like all these different things. And from that, it took me probably 2 years before it hit me like, oh, I need to study herbalism. And that's because I was still in the mindset of like, I gotta go to school and finish mm-hmm. school and get a traditional job. And, you know, at that point in my career, but I wasn't happy. And on my lunchtime, I would go to Zilker Park in Austin and just study herbs and Ayurveda. And that's what made me happy. And that's what lit me up. And it was like, what if this could be my life? Like, what would that look like? You know?
Yeah.
Sounds happy. And I made that decision and I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to study herbalism and, you know, it's going to be great. And actually this is, I manifest things because I'm a projector. So it's very quick. Not too long after that, I was offered a position at this aromatherapy company and it was an e-commerce startup. And so I took it and it was remote. So I was able to go from, you know, working, I was working at Apple at the time to being remote and being able to go wherever I wanted. So I had done 3 jobs for a while and I saved and I was calling in my mentor where I wanted to go to herb school. I looked at so many and I ultimately just landed on one in North Carolina. I liked what my mentor at the time was offering and what she was saying about it. And it felt right. And I moved and I didn't know anyone and it was weird, but I don't regret it. And
amazing.
I've just taken my herbal like studies deeper since then. Mm-hmm. And it was more so like, what, like, where do I fit on this spectrum? And what was hard was comparing myself to people on Instagram because it's like, oh, they have it all together and they're already doing what I want to do. And oh my gosh, and playing that comparison game. And that is detrimental because it's made me want to stop several times. Mm-hmm. And so I had to like really sit down and be like, okay, Instagram aside, I unfollowed people because it was not healthy, even though I love them.
Yeah.
And I learned that really what I resonate with are the energetics of a plant and what that can do for you. So
yeah,
that was a long-winded version of that story.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing all of that. Cause I feel like I'm just always so curious what brings people to the plants. And I can see how, oftentimes we think it's for the physical things like, oh, it's treating depression or it's doing this and that, but it's really like the energy of the plant. Sometimes it's just like needs to whisper to us and like tell us little messages. So yeah, there is like an energetic thing that happens with the plants that I feel like there's a calling sometimes. So
yeah. And I was just going to say that I, around that time too, had this download of like, creating this healing program that's based around working with plants. And I didn't know what that looked like. I just knew, like, maybe I would have patients grow their own medicine and then they would take it, and I would work with, like, you know, a Chinese medical doctor or something like that. And that's just like this vision I have. And then I fell into floral design and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, flowers, flowers are medicine.
Yeah.
And so now it's just this huge part of me that just wants to develop, you know, some kind of like therapeutic program around flower therapy and more than flower essences, just like, I don't know what that looks like yet, but.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I know a couple other people who are on a similar wavelength who are interested in like energy of plants and are floral designers. And so, yeah, I feel like there's something in that realm that will evolve.
Ponderosa and Thyme's doing an amazing job with it, I think.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Wild Moonflower as well is kind of in a similar wavelength. So it's so beautiful and interesting to see how things are all evolving, and lovely to see your path and how you're able to kind of use these difficult experiences to lead you forward and kind of guide you and be able to serve other people as well. And I can just relate to so many parts of your story, and especially that like imposter syndrome, like feeling like, okay, I've studied herbs, but I don't know enough and I don't know how to present myself as well as other people. And so there's like this tendency to not share your gifts, even though everybody just, you know, we're doing our work differently. So I love that you're still diving in and exploring that. It's really exciting.
Yeah, that kind of reminded me of something I wanted to say earlier, is like, it took me a long time, even in that journey. Like, you know, I had an issue where my mentor was not healthy for me. And so it was like, that spiraled me down to like, my whole life I've been looking for teachers. Every time I found one, it didn't work out the way that I thought it would. And so it's like, you know, it took a while to realize I don't need a fucking guru. Like,
yeah,
we are a guru. We just have to learn how to tap into that and listen. And it's like, it's nice to feel supported by community, because we can like talk things through, but like, we're our own person. Like, we're on our own path, and our higher self knows where that's going, and we just have to tap into that. So
yeah, absolutely. And I like that you're working, I think, the lateral platform of just learning from other people and having that community of learning is a much, much better model for being able to be your true self and find your true path. Because I feel like when there is this guru mentality or energy, you can kind of be pushed and pulled in. You don't have firm boundaries into like what you need to do for yourself, you know? So I think it's really exciting that you're creating this platform.
I think that me and Natalie could like start a village in the woods and a mountain, and like, you know, not in like a bad cult way, just like, just community, like, come live your own life, be your own person, but
yeah,
you know, let's make trades and get away from money.
Amazing. I love that. I'm curious for you, Natalie, what was the transition from Dream Freedom Beauty to Earth Speak? Like, why did you feel like you needed to change the container?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
Kind of totally. I just was like left field, but I just was like thinking of that. I was like, wait.
Well, I mean, part of it was the energy of it, and part of it was, gosh, there's so many factors. I want to say before this, though, y'all got to check out Shauna's floral designs. She's on Sentient Botanicals, like Sentient, like S-C-E-N-T-I-E-N-T Botanicals on Instagram. And I just, one day I was scrolling on Instagram and I was like, damn, Shauna needs to see this. And I was like, damn, that is Shauna. Like, she's so amazing.
Definitely have a link in the show notes for that too.
Cool.
So thank you for that.
Yeah, I just really love her gift with flowers. And so Dream Freedom Beauty, I guess, you know, Dream Freedom Beauty started kind of randomly. I was in grad school for soil science and got this idea and started it with my sister and ultimately ended up just doing it myself. She went to go back to music full time. She's a musician. And so it was me, and I don't have a very big bandwidth. Like, I can get stuff done, but I know I'm my own bottleneck. I am like my own worst bottleneck here. And there was just so much more that wanted to come through. And I didn't know what it was. It was just still the same thing, always just following that energy, following that thread of energy, connecting with that, like, what is the energy of Dream Freedom Beauty? And it was that, it was the energy of Dream Freedom Beauty until it was not. And then it wasn't. And I didn't, you know, I didn't know what it was going to be, but I just kept listening. And I think a huge thing that catalyzed it was moving from North Carolina to California in 2018. My husband lost his job in North Carolina and got a new job in California. So we found out got a job, and then 6 weeks later we moved across the country and sold our house and everything. And so, well, actually we didn't sell our house till like a few months later, but that was a whole nother story. So that just, I remember landing in California and being here and just being like, wow, everything feels different. It was almost immediate. I felt like, wow, I'm different. The energy of the land is different here. The energy of Dream Freedom Beauty is different. And it no longer feels like Dream Freedom Beauty wants to be Dream Freedom Beauty. Like, just something about being in this different space changed everything. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I had already met Shauna. You know, Shauna and I had already met, and we were already in discussion about this vision for creating more of a community and more of a school. We had both, I remember on her application for the show notes, she had written something about wanting to, you know, see more classes and things and just places for people to connect and learn and grow more. And I was like, yeah, I'm feeling that too. So at that point, you know, I had moved across the country. It was still Dream Freedom Beauty. Shauna and I were in connection, and it just became clear. It just kind of unraveled. Like, my fire for it just kind of dampened. I was like, you know what? I don't feel the fire anymore. And I do feel the fire for this other thing. So we decided to probably about a year, almost a year after I sort of felt the fire wane. We actually had a funeral for Dream Freedom Beauty to close it up. And then we had about a month of nothing while we were behind the scenes working on EarthSpeak, and then we launched EarthSpeak. And it's interesting, you know, the creative journey always takes you places you never imagined you'll go. And we had one vision, and we just kept going on that vision, but then it changed and things changed. And I like how with EarthSpeak, we've just been very flexible with what's coming up, with what's showing up. You know, it's not too rigid of like, this is how it has to be, or this is the format we do every week. Or we do the format because that's the energy of what's showing up. Sometimes it's not showing up, so we don't do it. Sometimes, you know, like in our invocations in the beginning, sometimes someone doesn't want to lead one, so we don't do it. It's like, just, we just follow the energy. It's just what's showing up. So follow the energy, which it sounds so like, but how do you do that? And it's really like, not your mind, it's the energy.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's a good reminder. And I can see how, yeah, it just feels very organic and just feels really aligned and so cool to be working with such an amazing team of people together. How has that been? Have there ever been any conflicts or struggles with like deciding on anything, or it just is all magic?
And— oh, we're just all rainbows and butterflies over here. JK, big JK. I mean, when anytime you get two or more people together, there's going to be conflict at some point. And it's just, I don't think that the conflict itself is a thing to be worried about. It's how do you handle the conflict? And that determines the quality of the relationship and of your work together. And actually, a podcast guest on Dream Freedom Beauty, Nikki Silvestri, said something that I just love. She's like, most of the problems of the world are because people don't know how to play well together. It's like, yes. And that she teaches about shadow side and shadow integration and all of this. She's goes deep. She's amazing. And, you know, I think that's so true. And there have been conflicts that even with my own sister, I like to say I fired my sister because she was obviously her energy and her focus was going into, it was more like her energy was no longer there and present in what we were doing. And I was like, look, Lizzie, you have to make a choice. Are you going to, you can't do both full time because your energy is just not there. You don't, what are you going to do? Your music or this? It's, I love you either way. What are you going to do? And she chose her music. And it's just sometimes, you know, that was really hard. That was really hard.
Yeah.
But afterwards, you know, her music career expanded and she just is in the right place. And even as a team, as we've been Earthspeak, we started with a third member and it was apparent about, how many months? I don't know, about 9 months into after we had actually already launched, that this third member's wasn't really showing up in the way that a founder needed to show up. And so, you know, sometimes it's just hard like that. Like, it can be heartbreaking. And yeah, but I feel like Sean and I work really well together. We're both just like upfront. I'm like, I like it. I don't like it. She's like, we got to do this. She's like, do you want me to do that? I'm like, can you help this? What do you want me to do here? It's just like so easy. And I'm so beyond grateful for that. You know, that's how do you deal with conflict when it shows up and just what's the vibe of how you work with each other? I think that's a huge learning curve in any relationship, nonetheless business. And I feel like in business with your business partner is probably the person you're closest to besides your like life partner and children, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, we're definitely. Like, basically we share, Shana and I share a bank account. Like how married is that, you know?
Because
it's our business bank account, you know, it's like, we're in this together. So it's really cool to just be on the same team and have the same vision and have the same drive, but have complementary skills and just see it all come together.
Amazing.
Yeah. And, you know, ultimately like that third member, I think leaving was also a blessing in disguise for her because there was something else that was calling for her. But it was just like knowing exactly what that is, but then it clicking, like, you know, right. Anyways, so I think even that, like, if you have awareness of yourself and if you're able to discern what are you actually angry about, you know, like, is it my shit or is it the shit that's being presented to me? And then like, being able to deal with it in a mature way of being like, hey, you know, this is kind of bothering me, and being able to talk about it, egos aside, you know, that's how you grow together as a team. We haven't done that much. Like, yeah, I don't know that Natalie and I have had any kind of disagreements, actually. There's some things she wants to do one way. Sometimes I think maybe it should be done another way. But it's just like, you know, fucking try it. Like, like, I'm willing to try anything. If it doesn't work, we can always like try something else. So there's just no point in like letting feelings fester or like getting upset about anything, because ultimately we share the same vision. So like, we're going to get there one way or another.
I love that. And just thinking about like really focusing on the big picture and working on being able to repair and just, yeah, be clear with yourself so that you can work with the other person harmoniously. It's really inspiring because I feel like collaboration, if you want community, you have to be able to collaborate. And so that's really important to learn about.
Yeah. And I will say it is awesome having a team, and like Sean and I are the core. So we have our designer and we have a fourth person on our team. And then the Earth Speak Spirit Council, which is like what we call the energy of the spirit of the business, just for an easy contact name, you know? Well, they told us, it was like, okay, I'll connect with you with that. And it's awesome to have a business partner. Like just as much as the conflict, it's also the creativity, and the sum is so much greater that, you know, oh my gosh, I totally botched that. But it's like, you know, the result is so much greater than the sum of the parts. It's like, we really get to bring our magic together and see something new and different come together. And it's been really cool for me as someone who comes from such a regimented background. I studied like Latin. I have a master's degree in science. Like I'm very particular, very focused on details, and to just let go of control and be like, cool, it worked, whatever. Like it's very cool and liberating to kind of step away from some of the type A side and just trust that it's going to get done just as perfect as it needs to be if I'm not the one doing it. Because for many years, it was me on Dream Freedom Beauty doing so much of everything. Like, I've done everything. Mm-hmm. I've edited it. I've posted it. I've da-da-da-da-da. I've designed da-da-da-da-da. So it's really, really awesome. I'm saying this for all the other people out there who are like, I can't let go of control. You know, like, it's awesome. Do it, you know?
Like, I know.
Yeah. My goal is to take myself completely out of the picture, except for very high level things, mm-hmm. and just let people do what they do better than me. Yeah. You know, that's the fucking goal. And I think that's probably Shauna's goal too. We'll be there, you know, kind of directing from a high level and networking and just helping hold space.
Yeah, I think I love management. Like, you know, mm-hmm. my day job is I help build startups and teams and stuff like that. And I love management because you can, you know, take a person and you can ask them, what are your goals? Like, not in 5 years, just like, what are your life goals? You know, mm-hmm. what do you want to do with this job? Mm-hmm. And how can I help you get to where you want to be ultimately? And so, you know, we take that into consideration when we bring people on our team. It's like, what part in this community do they want to play? A, do they share the same vision? And then, like, can we really help them get to where they want to be long term? Mm-hmm. And, you know, hiring people that we trust to manage themselves, I think, too, is huge. Because, like, nobody likes to be micromanaged. I don't like to micromanage. Yeah. Like, I want to do the fun parts, you know? I want to meet up and be like, how can we help you get here? And, like, yeah, like, Jade, she's our production assistant, and she's amazing. Like, we don't have to micromanage her. She just thinks things out. We tell her what we need and we get it. And I couldn't ask for, you know, a better person to be working alongside. So.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so inspiring. Cause I think I'm an Aquarius. I love how you posted your astrological signs on the website. So full disclosure, I'm an Aquarius with a Virgo rising, Scorpio moon. So I have like that fixed element where like I want to just do all the things myself, but then I'm like, oh my God, this would be so much better if I was not the only one doing this myself. So it's so inspiring to see how you're working together harmoniously and allowing everyone to kind of have their own vision and to not have to micromanage people and give them, I feel like people shine more if you are not trying to like control them and get them to do something in a specific way. Like if people can just be in their own brilliance, it works better.
Right. Like hire people because you trust them and because they want to be there.
That's so brilliant. Kind of shifting to something I wanted to talk about before we began. I know in the beginning of most of your episodes, you ask about people's ancestry and the land and where they are. And I just think that that's a really beautiful offering and really beautiful reflection. And it's an interesting thing to consider, especially right now as we're dealing with just kind of coming face to face with the racism in our country that's always been there, but we've just, well, I don't know how to talk about it elegantly, but it's just like, okay, we have work to do, clearly. And so I think it's important and helpful to look at the complexity of each person and their background and the history of that land and the people that lived on that land before it was colonized. And so I love that you offer that. And so I'm curious kind of how that idea came to be that you would do that on your podcast. And if you would like to present that information, I would love to just understand a deeper picture of your backgrounds. Shauna?
We're pointing at each other. I don't even remember. Honestly, I don't even remember how that idea came to be. It just was like, I think that we should honor honor the ancestors, honor the earth, honor, you know, and just acknowledge what it's an acknowledgement. So mm-hmm. I do you remember any details of how we even came? I think if we just like, this sounds like what should be happening. It's aligned. It's probably the energy. We probably were like tuned into the energy of what to do in the podcast, and that's what showed up, you know?
Yeah, I think we talked about it on our team. Like, we had a meet the team call, and like, we had just talked about it, and then it just seemed like, yeah, we should always ask these questions.
Yeah.
So I just moved to Florida, and I'm learning the spirits of the land that I reside on. And I know that the natives are from the Okeechobee tribe, and I think it's like Loxahatchee, and this is actually the area that the Seminole War took place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I just recently found that out. So I have a lot more research to do about, like, the natives who is, you know, who were here in this area that I'm on. Especially now, like, I'm learning, directly over the bridge from me is Palm Beach. And so it's, like, a mile away, and it's multi-million dollar homes. But then two streets from where I am, it's, like, just run down, you know, just obvious that the government's not taking care of this part of, you know, our city. And it's like that, like, every few streets, you know, it's nice. And then two streets over, it's terrible. And I just feel like I have so much work to do here. And I'm glad that, you know, it was the ocean that was calling me. But anyways, I'm getting sidetracked. Yeah, my ancestors are from a lot of different places. My mom is from Germany. But our ancestors are actually from Silesia and Ireland. So maternal is Silesian, paternal on her side is Ireland, and then on my dad's side, both paternal and maternal, it's African American. However, my great-great-grandmother was raped by a white man. So it's interesting because people look at me and I look like I would be from Ireland, but I think there's a lesson there because you can't judge a book by its cover, right? So yeah, people just assume that I'm white because I'm white presenting, but I'm actually biracial, and I was raised to be a Black woman. You know, my dad raised me to be a very strong, proud Black woman, and so did my stepdad. Both of my step-parents are also Black, and, you know, my brother looks different than me. My full-blooded brother looks different than me. I say that I'm the white sheep of my family. But, so, our family from those lineages are from West Africa, and there's some Native American mixed in. I'm not sure, like, exactly where, but I've started doing genealogy, and I'm thinking that it was somewhere around Louisiana. So still have a lot of work to do to figure that out, but, you know, even my grandparents have six kids, and none of them are the same shade. My dad is the lightest, you know. My grandpa had an afro and hazel eyes. Like,
same. So beautiful. I love the complexity of that.
Yeah, but it also goes to a deeper history in that, you know, my family, in one part, we were slaves, and slave masters would rape their slaves, and so bloodlines get diluted, and that's, you know, how a melting pot is created in America, so.
Yeah, it's not a pretty reality, but I think it's helpful to acknowledge that it is the reality. And yeah, so thank you for being courageous enough to voice that, and to, I feel like sometimes airing things out can help them to heal. And so I think there's something about, like, giving that some breath can, like, yeah, bring healing, hopefully.
Yeah, time. There's so much more to be said. Another time.
I always love hearing Shauna's stories, because there's just, like, I'm like, how have you only lived this one lifetime as Shauna? It's amazing. Yeah. So I'm eager to always hear her share more of her stories. They're just so wow, just like wow. It's just, there's so much amazing stuff in there and just mind blowing and just, it's awesome. So I'm as white can be. I'm like Danish, Swedish, Finnish, Scottish. I look, if you look at me, I look Scottish. I've got like a little Scottish nose, a little Scottish everything, and English, and maybe a little bit French, German. Yes, I'm French. But basically just like European. And the land I live in Santa Clara, California. And this is the land of the Ohlone people, where they, you know, they still, it's amazing, you know, there's the original people of land. And in most, not most, but in many places, those people still live on those lands in one way or another, whether they're practicing as their ancestors or not. So there are people here who are still, you know, Ohlone people still here. And there's many different types and names. I mean, when Ohlone is kind of like a overarching name, and there's many different types within that. And I am not sure of the exact name of like this exact spot. I don't know if anybody knows that, but there's many names. Just to name that Ohlone is not just one type of people. There's many tribes. So yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah, thank you both for sharing. I think it's really beautiful to understand more about where we live and where we come from. I need to do my own research. I am in Boulder, Colorado, but I don't know who the native indigenous people were here. So I need to do my own research. But
super easy. If you just Google it, there's a lot of information out there. Now there's maps and there's societies of, like, you know, you can just, there's all kinds of stuff. It's pretty easy to learn now. So anyone who's listening too, go ahead and Google it. Just look it up.
Okay, I will. That is a good assignment for me. And yeah, similarly, I am very northern European, so Norwegian, Danish, and Polish, Russian, maybe, I don't know, something Ukrainian, in that, something in that realm. So but yeah, it is interesting to consider our ancestors and dig into what they have been through and how that affects us in our day-to-day, and how to kind of bring healing in that realm. So I know you both touch on that a little bit in the podcast. I'm curious. It sounds like that's definitely part of the collective experience as well, in some ways.
Definitely. We've had some really interesting experiences. I mean, anytime you start tapping into the spirit realm, stuff comes up. And especially there's so many spirits who have just been, you know, our society doesn't really acknowledge how to even begin to discern what energy is a spirit energy. And when you start to tap into that, there's so many spirits waiting for some sort of attention or support or something. And I think one of the biggest things, which I've practiced from teachers and in many different ways, there's really no, I'm going to go ahead and say there's no one right or wrong way to do this. But I think one of the biggest things has been people learning how to help stuck spirits cross over. And in our collective, we've done rituals and in them had the experience of people's ancestors showing up where everyone in the group felt it and they needed help crossing over from some sort of, you know, they get stuck here from some sort of trauma or something that happened in this lifetime, or some sort of deep guilt or shame that they don't feel that they're worthy of crossing over into the land beyond the ego and personality of their spirit and back into that, you know, into that more egoless spirit. And yeah, that's been really wild. You know, we don't go there every week. It's really intense, you know, but it doesn't have to be intense either. I think it's intense for people who are just first learning to connect with spirit, and was certainly something we address and have, you know, all of our collective calls are recorded too, so new people can go back and listen and experience that for themselves. But I mean, in one instance, we had a woman's great grandma who had died in a really tragic way, and this whole ritual had brought her up so powerfully, and we helped her cross over, and it was such a shift in energy, and it's created such a shift in her own life And she actually, now that she's consensed that that particular ancestor is actually has shown up in different ways now as a supporting guide rather than this like kind of like interfering energy. So amazing. I know that's like a whole other rabbit hole. I mean, Sean, do you have anything to add to that? Because there's so much about ancestry and spirits and healing. Whew.
Yeah, I think ancestral work is should be something that everyone does inherently. You know, I don't like, I am super interested in epigenetics, and that's kind of how I got started on it. And, you know, healing, the responsibility that we each have to heal our familiar, like familial shit before, you know, we start having families. And I'm not judging, like, you know, this is just, I just feel like this is important to work to be doing, to consider before you start your family, because imagine if you can heal that trauma, you're not passing that down, you know. And of course it takes generations to like remove diseases that are like, you know, deeply rooted in DNA, but like I think it's possible, and I think it's worth trying. And yeah, so we spend time, we do spend time, and in our invocations, we make space for ancestors to come in and help those who are well. We've definitely had calls where it's like, you know, one-on-one basics, how do you set boundaries and protect yourself and only invite in ancestors who are well healed? And, you know, how do you journey in a way that's safe, and how can you do this by yourself? And when is it appropriate to seek support from a shaman, you know, and like, all just the different types of support systems that are out there and why they're there. So I think it's important to this work, especially since our ancestors are still energetically tied to this earth. Their energetic patterns are still here. So it's, to me, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah, actually, that's bringing us something. When I've done ancestral healing too, I've seen the spirits of the land also asking for healing and going in and doing energetic work to help just shift any energetic patterns that have been left embedded in a landscape, even if it's not a landscape I'm on at the moment, but helping that land itself shift so that it can also be well, because these energetic patterns do get kind of stored or embedded in places. I mean, think about if you go to like a battlefield and like one of the Gettysburg battlefields or something, it can feel creepy. Or if you go in a haunted house, or and then later I grew up in a house where I knew it was haunted. I could feel it. It was freaky. I would tell my mom like every day, I'd be like, this house is haunted. I can feel it like right here. And she would just deny. But the whole time she knew that it was haunted, well, that someone had actually killed themselves there in my bedroom. Whoa. And she didn't tell me till after we moved out. She's like, I didn't want to freak you out. And at that point I was old enough to just like forgive her and be like, it's okay, I understand where you're coming from. But God, I wish that she would have actually known how to deal with spirits so that she could have helped me help that spirit cross over and helped me not be so affected by it, because that was really intense. And that energy was like that spirit, and the energy of that spirit was embedded in the house. And think about if you go to a place where that's been like prayed and tended and just a beautiful space that has like a, just a really loving healing energy, like these energies do take root. And so in my own ancestral healing, I've seen how my own ancestors have either been involved in or brought, you know, like agitated energy, traumatic energy patterns to a land, and that the land itself just needed a little bit of help shifting that out as well. So there's a lot of energetic weird stuff going on in the world that we aren't taught. And it's a lifetime of study.
It is. And I love that idea of more people having an awareness so that, you know, like if your mom had had that awareness, instead of undermining your intuition and you being like, there's something not right here, like acknowledging, you're really intuitive.
I know, that's some low level gaslighting. I forgive you, mom, but come on.
Wow, Natalie, that story is new to me. I'm going to want to go deeper on that one.
Anytime.
Wow. Yeah. It's important. It's just, I hope everyone opens themselves up to that. And, I've been able to recognize mother wound trauma that I don't know if I would have been able to heal from that in this life had I not kept with it. And I think something that maybe deters people or deter, what is that word? Steers people.
Deters. Deter.
Yeah. Okay. Deter.
But if you want to
Maybe.
say deter, I'll accept that.
I mean, as long
Yes.
as we understand each other, that's all that matters.
Is how complicated and mystic they feel like it is. It's just like there's this mystery to it, and people feel like they have to learn from somebody. And it's like, if you just attune, like learn how to clear your shit and then just attune and ask those who are well healed to come support you in your life. Ask what needs to be tended, like tune into the different lineages that you have and ask which one wants to be worked on right now. What is the most well-healed lineage that I can work with? And start there. And it doesn't have to be this scary thing, Just know how to set your energetic boundaries and that you have the psychological power to say, anything that wants to harm me or my family cannot enter my space. That's all you have to do, And let those who are well healed come and support you in your everyday life. They want to be there for you, and they are there whether you know it or not. But it's like they have the power to push you towards mother wound trauma and learn that that's a thing and why it's there and how it's, imprinted in you and what it looks like manifested in my life. So now I look forward to cultivating relationships with women, whereas before, that's not something I would have done or like. Have a better relationship with a future daughter if I have one. So, important work.
That is so interesting. Is it mother womb trauma?
Yeah, mother wound.
Mother wound.
This
Oh,
is
I.
the trauma throughout your mother lineage that just gets passed down and passed down and passed down and,
Wow, I can see that in my own, like, thinking about my own family. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's
I mean,
the
we're living in the patriarchy. There's a lot of it.
thing. Yeah, indeed.
I think moms can be harder on their daughters too. Like, I grew up with all brothers. It was so, I mean, it took me a while to realize why. And I know now that it comes from a place of love, but it's the only way she knows how.
Yeah, it's I think it's helpful to be able to kind of try to deconstruct the reasoning for a person's actions. And yeah, forgiveness isn't always easy, but I think it can help you in the long run so you can move forward. I'm curious, talking about simple ways of healing and doing ancestral work, is there any exercise or, I mean, I feel like Shauna, you just kind of gave a beautiful glimpse into like simple ways to connect, but is there any kind of offering or anything we can give listeners they can walk away with
I
for
think a
looking at them?
really, I think a really easy way that anyone can do right now is if you know where you're from and like where your ancestors come from, pull up music from that culture
Oh.
and feel it. And I'm not just talking about like just having it on while you're cleaning, like no, like feel it,
Oh.
and connect with it that way.
That's
Love
I
that.
love that.
I would say another thing is, especially when you're getting into the realm, if you want to go, ancestral healing doesn't have to be all spiritual and weird and woo-woo. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that can you can be doing ancestral healing even through going to your therapist. And it's like it looks in many different there's no one way that it looks. It can look like so many different things. And you might not even be aware that that's what you're doing. But if you want to get into the world of energy, then energy doesn't speak in words. It speaks in symbols and it speaks in sensations in your body and just sort of awarenesses in your knowing senses. So really beginning to learn that language and how it shows up for you is really key. And that's why we do them every week in the collective, why we do a grounding and clearing energy, because that begins to attune people to their own calibrated energy, and they can begin to sense how it feels what, before we do it and after we do it and during it, like what's showing up. And they begin to sense the different colors, the different shades of gray between the black and the white of their, you know, mind's experience. There's all these different subtleties in the energetic realm, and beginning to learn that, you know, this is a language. You don't learn it overnight. You don't just expect to all of a sudden be like fluent in this, but learn how to speak in energy and how to sense in energy, because that's also a way that you're going to begin to sense into, oh, that symbol is representing when my ancestors are showing up or have a message for me, or that sensation is an awareness that this certain type of spirit is near, or this is a certain, you know, like it's a language that only you can interpret for yourself too. No one else can tell you what it means. So you have to learn, and you have to know your own energy, and you have to begin to learn to sense that and discern that, but you can still get guidance and support from others about how to do that. But I think, especially when delving into the world of spirit, and this is something, you know, we're both really passionate about, is like, don't go relying on other people to tell you what's going on. I mean, I think getting a reading is really helpful. I love getting readings from a talented reader anytime, but ultimately the best reader for you is you. And, you know, they, or another reader can help you see what you couldn't see yourself, and you can explore it and see if that's true for you. And another reader can help you, you know, guide you to tools or practices that maybe you hadn't learned before, but you got to learn this for yourself. No one can do this for you. So that's it. Learn the language of energy. That's what we like to call our intuition too, is like this intuition speaks in this energetic language. And that's how we sense and speak with spirits, including the earth spirits. You know, it's not just ancestors. This whole language is energetic. So that's an invitation to people. Learn to speak that energetic language and how it shows up for you.
When I first started with ancestral healing, it was because I was a religious studies major thinking that I was going to go be a youth pastor, right? So I remember the professor was like, look, don't take my class if you don't want to just question your beliefs. And I was like, nothing's going to shake my leopard. But then like, the more I just got into it, like when you start studying religion from a historical context, you see how they evolve to compete with each other. And like, oh my gosh, it's just so maddening. Oh. But that's when I was really into like learning where ayahuasca came from and all this different stuff. And then Dr. Daniel Ford had come in to talk to our class. About shamanism. And this was back in, oh my gosh, I think it was like 2010, 2011. I can't remember.
Whoa, that's awesome.
Huge epiphany. And it was like, I had to leave the room and cry, because it was in that moment that I realized there's no turning back. Like, I'm not Christian anymore. I can't say that Jesus died for my sins, because I don't know. Like, I don't feel that. Like, it's told to me, but I don't know. So I can't say that without, you know, a doubt that I believe that's a thing. But what I can say that I believe without a doubt is that we are all just so connected to our earth and have a responsibility to nurture, but to also heal our shit. And so when he was talking, like, I just had that epiphany, and it's like, this is my work in this life. Like, I am meant to do this for my family. And, you know, I started going to his journeys, and he has like online stuff now, but he's so good at guiding, but also telling you, you have to figure it out. You have to do this work. So it's like, but at that time, I was so craving knowledge. I went to like the bookstore, and it's like spending the little money I had on all these books to try and learn more and more and more. But it didn't resonate, because it wasn't my story. It wasn't my people. So, you know, you have to listen to yourself and be guided by yourself. And I just can't stress that enough.
I love that. That just like gives me chills, and I'm just like, yes, that's so good. Because I feel like it is different for each person, those feelings. And so I think it is, and it's really easy to look to a book for the information and to look for a guide to take you there. And I've definitely done that. And there is also just a magic in doing it yourself. And there's magic in being in a community that can kind of hold that space for you to be within yourself too. So yeah, I love that you're encouraging people to be honest with themselves and feel their own feelings and have their own process and give space for it within a community. I just realized the time. I want to honor your time and tune in and see if there's any kind of final, as we're wrapping up, if there's other messages coming through you want to be sure to share or to give voice to about the podcast, about working together.
I think the only thing that was like, oh, you have to say this, is to tell, just to tell people that it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Mm. You can start small and mm-hmm. take those baby steps and follow those little strings of noticings and synchronicities and let that lead you. Because when synchronicity happens, that means you're in a flow state. That means you're doing things right. And, you know, spirit's going to lead you where you're supposed to go. So just trust it and know that you don't have to, just because shamanism is interesting to you, learn everything and honor your ancestors perfectly right away. Yeah. You know, you don't have to pick up a tarot deck and think that you know, like you have to learn the meanings to everything. And really with tarot, let the cards tell you what they mean. You know, you, mm-hmm. you don't need a book to tell you. So it's like, just trust yourself and listen and let that guide you.
Oh, I love that.
I guess I don't have anything to share. I guess just that people, if they're listening to this podcast, and they probably like podcasts, so you can find us, just search in your podcast app. It's Earth Speak with Natalie Ross and Friends. Because I think there was already something else called Earth Speak, so I added Natalie Ross and Friends to it.
Oh, nice.
You'll see it. Psychedelic little mushrooms on the front. It's like little red amanitas. And earthspeak.love is our website, so you can go check it out. And we're at Earth Speak on Instagram, so people should come check us out. If they liked what we said here, check us out. See if you like what we say on the interwebs. And if you want to come party with us, I don't know, we're not really partying. If you want to come just be part of our community, then you're invited. You know, it's the collective, it's on our website, you'll see a link there. And we do workshops all the time. We're starting all these amazing workshops now, and actually workshops are included in a collective membership. So
amazing,
isn't that? And so yeah, so if you're a member, you get all the live workshops, you get all the past workshops and the workshop library. And if you don't want to join, then you can still just buy a standalone workshop if it piques your fancy. So earthspeak.love is where all the love's happening. Come check it out.
Amazing.
And thank you for having us on this show. Oh, it's really fun.
Yeah, it's wonderful to connect with you both. And thank you so much for making time and for being open to chatting. And it's just, yeah, mind-blowing and world expanding. You can start small, and it's really good inspiration just to listen to the energy of everything around you and all the projects that you're working on. Like, I think for artists out there, like, listen to your paintings, listen to your garden, listen to the world around you, and you'll find answers and let that guide you. So it's so inspiring.
Well, thank you again. This is actually Natalie and I's first time being on a podcast outside of our own together. So,
oh, really? Oh,
yeah. Super fun.
Oh, I'm so honored. Oh, well, thank you for aligning schedules and everything.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thanks for inviting us. It was super fun to be on the other side of the mic.
It's a funny experience to switch it up a little. Amazing. Well, thank you again so much. And wonderful to connect with you both.
You too.
Amazing.
Cool. Thank you.
Cool. Okay, good night.
Awesome. Good
night. Good night. Goodbye.
Thank you so much for being here and for listening today. Please be sure to connect with Earth Speak. You can go to their website, earthspeak.love, or Instagram, earthspeak. And if you're digging the show, please be sure to share this episode with a friend or share it to your stories. And you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find the show. It only takes 2 minutes and it means the world to me. Thank you so much for considering doing that. And if you enjoy the show and you're in a secure place financially, please consider supporting. You can help amplify the voices of creatives and other plant people on this podcast. And you also get a little bonus download of listening to our secret invocation. I'm also currently donating 10% of Patreon funds to Crafting the Future for more creative opportunities for the BIPOC community, and will continue to donate 10% of Patreon funds to Black empowerment organizations each month moving forward. Thank you so much for your help and for your support, and I would love to know what you're up to. Please join my newsletter if you'd like, and you can send me a little email as well, or connect with me on Instagram. Oh, I hope you're well, and may our efforts benefit all beings. Take care.